Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. 908, almost 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. I'm feeling pretty loosey-goosey. I'm going on a trip here in a couple of days and can't wait for that. And Steve Dunham is here.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
New County School.
You're loosey-goosey.
A little bit, yeah. It's like, you know, Brandon and Dallin were in for the show previous to this, and they're like, hey, man, you're at that point where you can go to the boss and say anything you want because what's he going to do, fire you? Because I am retiring soon. And they make a good point. But and actually, I would make more money being fired than I am retired.
Because
they have to pay you all these packages and money, they, you know, vacation and stuff.
So are you taunting the boss?
No,
you don't want to burn every bridge as you go out the door.
Well, and the other thing I keep telling people, this is the honest truth, Steve, is I've never done this. Now, I would say I didn't do it for the paycheck and I didn't do it for the company, but they are not my motivators. My motivators are people out there listening.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Always been. And I don't want, I might burn the bridge with the boss and I might burn the bridge with, you know, whoever, the corporation, but I never want to burn the bridges with my listeners.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt them. That makes complete sense. You've built some trust with them and you don't want to destroy that. That makes complete sense.
So, yeah, you're right.
Awesome.
So how have you been? Everything good?
Everything's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Veterans Day today, some special stuff in the school district going on with veterans.
Oh, yeah. Every single one of our bands is participating in the Washington City Parade. That's this morning at 11 o'clock over in Washington City. So if you want to go see the Veterans Day Parade, afterwards there is a program, I believe, at the town square there, and we'll have some of our fifth grade classes there reciting some things. And so
I was fortunate enough. My daughter wrote, I don't know, what do they call it, a tribute, whatever, for that. And they actually, she had to go up and give her little, her little thing. It was really cool. This was way before AI. I know she didn't cheat and have AI do it, but and then I had another daughter sing, and they're part of the band and stuff. They do it upright over there in Washington City.
I find it very emotional because I'm a big supporter of those who have served our country. And so when you see all the support, all the cheering, they pass out flags. Washington City really does a great job with the parade. And you have not only the kids, but I like when the floats come through and it has all those old veterans on them.
Yeah.
I love seeing that, and that's what it's about.
I've kind of committed in my head. I'm going to find a copy of Saving Private Ryan and watch it tonight.
Oh, yeah. Because
that is, if you don't have an appreciation for the military, watch that movie and you will get it. It's like, you know, when he says, spoiler alert, but when Tom Hanks at the end tells Private Ryan, make this worth it. I was just like, wow, that's what it's all about. And that's what we all should strive for, is to, those veterans sacrificed, many of them sacrificed their lives, or at least their livelihood, or whatever. We need to earn that every day as citizens, as Americans.
That's right. That is right. I agree. I support that 100%.
So happy Veterans Day. There are specials all around town, almost any restaurant in town. If you can show them that you're a veteran, they have free meals. And there's actually a grocery store up in Ogden. Now, obviously, I don't think we want to drive to Ogden, but there's a grocery store that is allowing families of veterans to go in, and I think it's $100 free groceries. Just go in and get whatever you need.
That's really cool.
That's very cool.
I love that. Cool. I love that.
And you don't need a haircut, but Great Clips is doing Veterans Free Haircuts Day today. That's pretty cool too.
That is awesome. You know, we can all come together and support these men and women who support us, support our country.
Yeah.
That's such an easy thing to do, and it should be unifying for us.
Absolutely. The kind of a little bit uncomfortable side of it is, unfortunately, veterans have a higher suicide rate than regular people. And so today I would just urge people that great 988 hotline. Now, you don't have to memorize some big long number. If you're a veteran or anyone and you're having some struggles, emotionally, mentally, call 988 and they'll just talk to you. They'll help you.
You know, and that brings up a key point. We talk about how veterans sacrifice. Some of them are still sacrificing because of their service.
That's true.
And it's important for us to remember that and have some compassion, some empathy towards the struggles they may be facing because of that. I can't imagine what that's like to go through.
Yeah.
So
I had a friend who served in Vietnam, and unfortunately, he had real PTSD. Like, if he heard a loud bang, it would almost instantly, his mind would go back to when he was in Vietnam, and he would kind of freak out a little bit. And he received years and years of counseling for that, but it still never completely went away. So, yeah. There's things that happen to them that we can't even fathom, or that they saw that we can't even fathom. So.
And things can bring that all back in an instant. Yeah.
Yeah. So happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. I don't want to also, I don't think we should diminish those that didn't serve in a foreign war, didn't maybe see death and killing. My dad, for instance, served in the National Guard. He served, 4 years for his country, and it wasn't just, 1 week in a month or whatever. He did all kinds of, he helped build the, I want to say Soldier Summit, I think it is, up there as part of the group of engineers that built that. And he deserves as much credit as anybody because he served.
It's not about just being in a war. It's about serving our country. Exactly. I have friends that were in the Navy. I have friends that were in different branches of the service. My father he went over to Korea, but he was at the end. They had signed the armistice, but it was still kind of a hot area. And soldiers were still, there were cross-border, I don't know, its border, the DMZ,
across the military zone,
yeah,
the demilitarized zone,
yeah, and they had skirmishes where people were still being killed. It wasn't a regular battle, but yeah, and so they served in different ways. But
we both of us, I think I can speak for Steve, we both feel kind of unworthy because we didn't serve our country, but we do certainly have a lot of respect for people,
definitely,
and we have different ways of serving too.
That's so. Right.
Anyway, happy Veterans Day to all of you out there. Dad, you too. Hopefully we can talk him into going out and getting some kind of free something somewhere for being a veteran. So I should mention some of these places do require some sort of proof that you served in the military. I don't know what that entails, if you have a jacket or a patch or what that involves. But, unfortunately, there are people who have tried to defraud companies posing as veterans when they really aren't some. So sadly, when good things happen, there's always bad people out there trying to take advantage of people's generosity. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right, school district. School's in today. It is a holiday of sorts. It's Veterans Day, but I don't know about banks, but I know a lot of federal offices and state offices are closed on this day. But school is open.
That is correct. Yes, kiddos are in school, and so things are going as normal. There are a few of them that again are participating in the parade over in Washington City. So. With probably several hundred of them over there, with all the bands from the different schools. And
do you know if any of the schools are letting kids go to the parade? Because a parade without kids is not, not as cool. Right?
You know, I honestly don't know. That would be up to the school's discretion and our availability of buses. Again, it always becomes a challenge when
yes, it does.
You already have, you reserve them for the most important and then work backwards. So you have the bands that have to be there. If you're in the parade, you have to be there. We'll have buses for those kiddos. And then we'll see if they have extra buses and the schools have reserved them in advance. They can take their students to participate. I'm sure there are some in Washington City, a Washington Elementary that's going to be there. They can walk there and support that. And I'm sure that's taking place. But, yeah, I'm not exactly sure beyond that.
One of the things you do, we talked about it last time you were on the show, is you're part of the, and I'm changing topics abruptly here, but you're in charge of the Sterling Scholar Awards and a lot of different kind of, I don't know, Steve, it seems like your job, you get a lot of stuff that you just, okay, nobody else can do that. Let's get Steve.
Yeah, well, it kind of falls under the foundation also, and I'm over the foundation for the school district. So not only do I get to come and talk to you every month, but I get to help raise money for our teachers and our students. And so the Sterling Scholar falls under the foundation because we raise money and we do a cash prize for our Sterling Scholars. We also get businesses to sponsor that event so that we can put on a little night of recognition for the students that have really excelled.
Now, talk about the foundation and what it is. You mentioned it a couple of times here, and I think there might be a couple of people out there going, no, what is that? What's he talking about?
So we have a 501c3 at the school district. It's the Washington County School District Foundation, and it was chartered back in the 80s for the purpose of benefiting the learning of the students in Washington County. So our whole purpose is around helping learning, helping it become better and grow. So we do different events that are fundraisers. One of our biggest fundraisers is our golf tournament, which just ended in September. We just had in September. We raised about $120,000 that we give.
Now, did you go?
I don't golf. I'm not a golfer. Okay. But I go and I welcome all of our teams. I make sure they feel welcome and they recognize how their participation in this is making a difference to for our teachers. We give all that money back in teacher grants.
That's what I was going to say. Can you kind of tell how does the foundation help this?
So our teachers apply for grants. We have two different grants they can apply for. We have a regular teacher grant, which is up to $500, and then we have a special project grant, which a teacher can apply for up to anything. Maybe they have been to a professional development or seen one where it requires all kinds of science supplies or telescopes or whatever. So they can apply for several thousand dollars. And we will work to find businesses that can help fulfill those grants. And so that's what we do. And then we go out and we pass out those grants. We call them our spring grants because they apply. And then we vet all the grants, make sure that they have a good educational purpose and how they're going to benefit the students. And then we'll go award those to teachers with the businesses who have donated the money so they can give the teacher checks, surprise them. And usually you see tears and that's always fun. And you can see how you're making a difference directly in the classroom. We don't keep any of the grant money or any of the donated money for the district. 100% of your donation goes right to where you want it to go. And that's the benefit of the school district overseeing this is they cover all of our administrative costs, my work and my secretaries that help out. And we can give 100% of your donation right where you want it. And it really makes a difference. We'll have teachers that'll get choked up and cry over, I saw one cry over $97. She applied for a grant for $97 and she broke down in tears. Really cool. You think for less than $100, and that's no big deal. And she could have applied for $500, but most of our teachers apply for what they need. So you'll get grants for a couple $100. You'll get grants for $50. It's what they need at the moment to teach a concept. Because if we can make learning more fun, the students will retain it. And if they retain it, they do better on test scores and everything. And we're seeing that right now in our school district. Another one of our big fundraisers is the Dixie Power Kite Festival that happens in the spring.
Right.
And we bring in, I shouldn't say we, Dixie Power, it's their event, but we're the beneficiary of that, and that is all for literacy. And we are really reaping the rewards of our literacy fundraising that Dixie Power does for us. We have some of the highest reading scores. I've ranted about our reading scores in the past, but if I could jump into, we were just recognized, sure, three of our schools for making achievements in reading that the state set a goal for us to hit in 2027. And we hit them in 2025. So we had a third grade class from South Mesa Elementary, third grade students from Three Falls Elementary, and this is the big one, Crimson View Elementary School. They had students from kindergarten, first, second, and third all achieve this benchmark this year. And it's a benchmark that the state had planned for schools to achieve in two more years.
Way ahead of schedule.
Crimson View Elementary is only one of eight schools in the state to be able to do this. That is huge. And so, and this is all literacy. And this is part of the Kite Festival money. The Dixie Power donates $100,000 to us, and we put that directly to literacy programs in our schools, and our students are excelling. We have some of the very best literacy achievements in the state. It's wonderful to see, and I can tie it directly to the 25 plus years that Dixie Power's been doing the Kite Festival.
It's such a big thing to get the kids to read, but also to read to them, especially if they're younger.
Yes.
When I go visit my grandkids up north, and it's something I love to do, but it's amazing to me. I'll sit down, and they don't want to play Legos. They don't want they all grab books, and they call me Pops. Pops, Pops, story, and I'll read a story, and I'll read 30 stories, and then guess what? They're getting more books, and finally, usually their mom has to come in and say, well, let's let Pops rest for a minute and do something else, because
Pops talks for a living, and then he has to read. But you know what? They love the sound of your voice. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
They have something my grandkids called, I think it's a yo-yo. It's a headphone thing that reads stories to them. They can actually get the book and then listen to the story and turn the pages as a story. And that's kind of what a lot of them do at bedtime. But we found out that we could actually, if we save it in an MP3 format, we can then send that to my son, and he can convert it into, so it's played on this yo-yo. So they're actually, my grandson gets to listen to me read Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel, one of my favorite ones as a kid. And Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, which those were two of my favorites when I was a kid.
That's awesome.
And yeah, they get to hear Grandpa or Pops reading it to them every night if they want to.
So. You know, and that is so exciting. And you hit a key thing. We have a lot of people that will volunteer in our schools to come read to students or have the students read to them. They share. And so we'll have senior citizens that will go into our schools, volunteer in our elementary schools, and it's a trade-off. The seniors will read to the children, but the children will also read to them. Yes. And so there's opportunities where they can do that. If you want to do that at your local school, reach out to the principal and see if they have some space available.
It's a great experience. I used to joke that I went to kindergarten six times, once for myself and then once for each of my five kids, because I would go in and do that and basically just read to the kids. And it's a rewarding experience.
I mean, really is.
I always say when you give service, the one that you the most, you know, you get more out of it than the people you serve. And this is the same kind of thing. When you go and read to kids, yeah, they get stories out of it and it's fun, but the feeling you get inside as you're reading those kids is just phenomenal.
You know, that's right. But if we circle back to the foundation, you know, those are our key objectives. Is we are our goal is to get money into the classroom where we can make a difference on learning. And so through the Kite Festival, it's literacy. Through the golf tournament, it's teacher grants, and that can expand to anything. It can expand to science, math, whatever it might be. We have a lot of fun giving that money out. Last year, we gave out more than $330,000 to teachers in our community through the teacher grant program.
Is there something comparable to this in other districts? It's such a great thing.
Other districts will do it. Some districts can raise a lot more money than us. You know, Park City School District raises a couple million in a night.
Well, that's because it's expensive there.
But they might, but they might do it differently. We have really focused on what we do well, and what we do well is getting that money into the classroom because we know we can make a difference on student learning when a teacher is passionate about teaching a subject and they only need a few resources and we can provide the funding to make those resources happen. Suddenly a lesson comes together. And if the lesson's fun and engaging, the kids learn and then everybody does better. And that's what we're doing.
You talked about how you really have a lot of say in where that money goes. Say I came to Steve and I said, Steve, I got a $1,000 check. I want to help, you know, somebody in a classroom.
Yes.
But I'd really like to follow through on it. I'd really like to see where it goes and how it helps.
Yeah.
Explain how that works.
So here's an example. A person came to us and said, this teacher made such an impact on my child. I'm going to get choked up.
Yeah, you always do. That's part of Steve. It's okay. I really should have more. We used to have tissue boxes in here.
It's all good. This teacher made an impact on my child. They gave us $1,500 for that teacher. We put it in a special account for that teacher, and we sent him a note and said, an anonymous donor gave this money to you, unrestricted for use in your classroom. And here's a note they shared. And the note, I'll paraphrase, it was something to the effect of, you can't understand what an impact you made on our child.
Yeah.
But we appreciate great teachers like you. Please use these funds for whatever you need in your classroom. And boom, they got 100% of that donation into their classroom, and that makes a difference for a teacher. Or if you know a teacher is teaching a subject that they're really good at, we have a lot of teachers that used to be business professionals that have come to teaching because they got burned out and in their industry. And they're really good at what they do. And you know, if you want to give to that, you can give to a specific classroom. You can give to a specific subject. If you want it specific for astronomy, we can do that. We have astronomy teachers in the district. We can separate it out to them. We can do all of these things. We have people that will donate to athletic programs, and then it's reserved for that athletic program, whatever it might be. Whatever you're passionate about, we can make happen. We have more than 2,000 separate accounts in the foundation for teachers and programs, and it's all reserved for whatever the donor intended. And it cannot be spent for anything else unless the donor gives their approval to change that.
Does this bring to light that maybe the teachers aren't getting enough without the foundation? A lot of them wouldn't be able to do stuff they want to do, right? I mean,
this is very true. Yeah. Up until last year, teachers only got $175 extra dollars from the state for classroom supplies and needs.
That is not very much.
No, not very much. Yeah. And so we would come in with a $500 grant and nearly triple that, you know? Now the state upped that amount, and I think they're getting, I honestly don't know what the amount is, but it's significantly more now. But still, we do the classroom grants because we can see how it makes a difference on learning. We can see how it makes an impact on morale for a teacher to know they're supported by the community. The reality is public education gets beat up a lot, but people want to pigeonhole what they hear on national news about public education to Utah. We're not national public education. This is Utah. We have conservative values. We have conservative rules. We have a conservative board of education, and we live in a conservative community where we are looking out for the best interests of our children here in Washington County. And so, you know, when our teachers feel beat down and then suddenly they get a gift, a donation from a business, it gives them a boost, a morale boost of, hey, somebody's looking out for me. They see that I'm doing good. That makes an impact on a teacher's life.
And I would go beyond. You said this is Utah, not the rest of the country. I would say this is Washington County, not the rest of the state, too, because we are a little different, a little better down here as well.
I would dare say Washington County is the most conservative school district in the state of Utah. There might be another small one that might rival us, and that's good. That's not a bad thing. We're very cautious about what we allow. If you look at, you know, concerns about books that shouldn't be in libraries, we have led the charge on ensuring those are removed and not available to children, because we want to ensure that everybody has a safe opportunity to see what they should see and are protected from what they should not.
Well said.
Thank you.
Talking with Steve Dunham today, Washington County School District, here on the Andy Griffin Show. Let's get a weather break in. When we come back, we'll talk more. He has some paperwork here.
I got all kinds of papers.
He does. He's got all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about that right after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:35 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Steve Dunham is here from the Washington County School District. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Okay. Hello.
Steve is, you told me your favorite 80s rock band is?
Really, I'd have to say Cinderella.
Cinderella, okay.
I really like Cinderella.
And you know what's funny is, I think if you were to rank them, say, top 20 in the decade of the 80s, people would be like, Cinderella might not even make the top 20.
Yeah, they may not.
As far as popular and all that stuff. But I'm with you. I love some of their songs, or, you know, night songs and some of those.
Gypsy Road.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, right?
Yeah, but Gypsy Road comes on, and I just cannot keep my foot off the gas pedal, you know?
Oh, wait a minute. That's a bad thing.
No, but there are some songs that are just great driving songs, and you're like, wow, I got to really put the hammer down, you know?
There are people listening that are going, those two are crazy.
Yeah, we are a little bit. We just went talking about foundation and how passionate I am about raising money for teachers to Gypsy Road by Cinderella.
Yeah, the original cross-dresser. They weren't really cross-dressers, but they were spandex makeup and big
hair. They
were
glam rock.
Yeah, glam rock.
The glam metal, yeah.
So somebody's going to look them up and they're like, Steve and Andy, like, these guys? Are you kidding me? No, well, we do.
And I don't think they were as bad as Poison with the makeup.
I like Poison a lot, though.
And they had some good songs, but they had a lot of makeup on.
Yeah. But I think the Twisted Sister might have been worse. They had clown makeup almost.
That could be, yeah.
And then don't even go to culture. I hated that dude, that Boy George guy. I couldn't stand him.
But then at the same time, you have Axl Rose and Slash that are completely the opposite of just grunge metal. I mean, they're no makeup, but they had style, you know. Slash with that hat and that hair, you cannot deny.
Face most of the time,
you couldn't. But boy, that dude could play a guitar.
No, you're right. Let's talk fall sports for a second.
Sure.
Now, people should know the football is the only sport, fall sport, that's left playing still, right?
That's correct,
yes. Now, football is into the semifinals this week. In one semifinal, it's Ridgeline versus Provo. And sadly, Provo upset Hurricane, knocked them out of the playoffs. So Ridgeline, Provo, that's Thursday night. And then Friday night, our very own Crimson Cliffs from here in southern Utah is playing in the other semifinal, taking on Green Canyon out of the Cache Valley area. They'll be heavy favorites. And the Green Canyon's not supposed to be there, a 14 seed. They weren't supposed to be where they're at. And Crimson, a number two seed. Everybody said it's going to be one Ridgeline against two Crimson. It still can be, probably will be, but yeah, Green Canyon is there, and that is Friday night at Rice Eccles at 6 o'clock. But the other sports, holy smokes, we got some cool people step up this time of year, didn't we?
We really do. Our Desert Hills High girls volleyball took first place, so they're state champions.
Is that their first one ever?
I don't know if it's their first one ever, but that's really a great achievement. So we're excited about that.
And they were not supposed to win, but they played Orem, I believe, and they were supposed to lose. They were underdogs.
So. I didn't know that. See, you know more about this than I do, Andy.
Yeah, I read it a little bit because, you know, I love high school sports.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome. And then our girls soccer team from Snow Canyon High School took state champion. So, incredible. You know, those are our two state champion teams from down here. We also, our boys golf from Crimson Cliffs, they took second, and Dylan Winona was first in the state as an individual.
Gold medalist. Very cool. Yeah.
And then we have several second place. We have Desert Hills High girls tennis. We have second place volleyball from Enterprise High School. We have, girls cross country second place, Dixie High, and Pineview High boys cross country second place. And then several fourth, and we just had our students really excel. So that was it's been a good fall sports.
Will you talk about for just a second the relationship of extracurricular, not just sports, but extracurricular and students? I go back to high school, and to me, extracurricular was high school. You know, to me, I wasn't a great student. I was good, but I wasn't a great student. But, if it wasn't for football and band, I don't know that I would have really had much interest in school at all. So talk about that relationship, if you will.
You know, it's kind of a trick. So what did you learn from football, and what did you learn from band, Andy? Because you learn things besides how to play an instrument, besides how to play a sport.
Well, you know, I think about football. So I was a lineman, right?
Yeah.
We had a 2,000-yard rusher my senior year, a running back, and which is an incredible thing when you consider we played 10 games.
He's played
200 yards a game. That's amazing. Most of the runs he made, I wasn't even looking at him when he was making his moves and doing stuff because I was blocking somebody so that he could get yardage. And so
you were doing your job.
Exactly. My job. And it's funny because I never once got interviewed by a newspaper.
No,
I never once, was on TV or anything like that. And yet we had this running back who received all these accolades. I felt like when he got that award, I got that award. Our team got that award because we were there doing our jobs as a team, trying to make it so he succeeded.
And that's how it's supposed to be. You have students that are growing, learning how to work in life, work together in life. And in life, you have to work with other people.
Yeah.
You have to also fulfill your role in what you're doing. And so sports, band, if you're just playing the drum in band and that's the only thing we can hear, you hear a drum.
Yeah.
But when you combine it with all the other instruments and you learn how to play together and you learn how to make the music and make it all come alive, that's the difference. And it also makes a difference when you have a good teacher, a good coach, a good mentor
that can teach you
and help you understand that, hey, this isn't about the sport football. This is about life. This is about some things that are bigger than us. And so those are some of the things with extracurriculars. We give opportunities. We always talk about opportunities for students, whether it's in the school play or whether it's in debate, whatever it might be, we're giving students opportunities that they might, it might connect with them and they become passionate about and they become really good. I had a friend who was in debate in high school and now he is an elected official up in the legislature.
Wow.
Because, and I'm sure that's what it was. He was really good at debate. He was good at, he went into law and then became an elected official. And I'm like, oh, I could see that. If I look back now, I go, oh, I could see that from him. And so that's what's fun about these extracurriculars is it's just giving opportunities which are going to benefit these students beyond life. And sometimes these opportunities are the bridge to help you get through the language arts test or geometry test or whatever it might be. You know, it is a bridge sometimes, and it gives you a connect of, hey, I can get through this.
We had a story on earlier today talking about CTE, and for those that don't know what CTE is, maybe you can explain that. It's initials, but it actually means
career and technical education.
Shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's more than shop. CTE right. Now is graphics. It's computer security. Right. It can be video editing. It can be construction. The construction trades. It can be welding. It can be so many other things.
And it's the kind of stuff that you say, well, we don't really need that, do we? Well, maybe not if you're a strictly, you know, STEAM guy, whatever, you're science, math, etc. But this stuff, it enhances, first of all, it does amazing, it does wonders for the kid themselves.
Yeah.
And second of all, it enhances the whole school, everything around it, it creates a fuller life, I guess.
So take, for example, our own Career Tech High School that's only been open a couple of years now.
Yeah.
We have students in there following a pathway. And if it's, let's say it's the construction pathway, they are in there learning how to frame a house. They're learning how to pull electrical cable. They're learning how to do plumbing. They're learning how to do HVAC. They're learning how to do all the different things to build a house. And at the same time, they are learning how the language arts test and the geometry test are applicable to what they are passionate about.
Right.
And they are learning how to incorporate all that, and we're giving them a jump start on life. It's like an apprenticeship where suddenly they're coming out of high school with a certificate of, hey, I know how to pull wire. I know how to wire these things. I know how to do these things under the guidance of a professional, but I am already steps ahead of some of my buddies, and I can earn a living wage. And if I want to further my education, I can. Or if I want to jump right into the workforce, I can. But we're giving them the tools because it's all about opportunities that they can jump into life a little bit faster, a little bit more well-prepared.
I had a question about that. So does a school like Career Tech, does it replace the, you know, after you graduate going to a technical school? Is it a replacement for that? Can I go, okay, I'm not going to go to tech school because I already did this?
Yeah. You can try, but we've tried to work closely with Dixie Tech so that our instruction that we provide lends right into what they're going to provide at the next step to get that further certification. Because, again, when you're looking at an electrician, you don't want somebody that's only had the basics out of a high school to wire your house. They need to have all those certifications. They need to have all those trainings so that it's going to be safe. Everything we're doing blends into what they can take up at Dixie Tech or at Utah Tech, and they can further their experience, or they can go into the workforce and get that as a journeyman working under a professional that's going to continue to train them.
Very cool. All right, let's get a break in right now. When we come back, I did want to talk a little bit about boundaries. Yeah, they've moved them. There will not be boundary changes for high schools this year, but there are some other.
We have an elementary boundary change taking place. Yep.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Yeah. It's 9:51 on KDXU. Steve Dunham with me.
Good morning.
And it strikes me, Steve, this is probably our last visit together.
I know.
We thought last month was what was, but then they talked me into saying another month. But I'm not saying December. I'm done. So.
That made me think of the Jaws. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, Andy's back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'll be going on a trip, and then I will be back again for a couple of days before Thanksgiving, but I will not be back in December, so... Yeah, this is it, man. Sorry.
That's okay. It's been a fun ride. It's been a fun ride. So I am going to take joy in what I've had, and I will miss this, but I'm going to take joy in the friendship we've made and this opportunity because this
Absolutely.
Has been fun.
Absolutely. Let's talk boundaries for just a minute.
Sure.
People get a little up in arms when it comes to boundaries. You're telling me I have to take my kid here and not here. I mean, people get pretty upset about this.
It's like trying to boss somebody else's dog around, you know? It doesn't go very well.
No.
But the fact is when you have a school district, you know, we're not facing growth like we have been in the past.
Yeah.
And in fact, overall as a district, we're flat. We might be down by 30 or 60 children. Mm. And so that's pretty what we'd consider flat. You know, not back from the days when I first started here and we were growing by 1,000 children a year.
Yeah.
That's nutsos. And you're constantly having to adjust while you're building schools. Well, now we're not in a building phase, but we're in a maintenance phase of saying, okay, what schools are in decline? What schools are there? Because we still have some schools that are experiencing growth. There is some construction going on in the south and eastern parts of the valley here. I call it a valley. Is this a valley? This is a valley. The community.
Yeah.
And so we are still adjusting boundaries to balance out enrollments because the goal is to balance and utilize the school buildings properly. We don't want to, you don't build a building and want it to become a burden on taxpayers. You want it to be utilized properly so it's efficient.
And by the same token, you want to have to bring temporary buildings in to, because somebody's overflowing.
Correct. Yeah. Because it becomes a hazard too when you're putting extra wear on the infrastructure. A building is built with the core, which is the bathrooms, the cafeteria, the gymnasium. That's the core of a school, and it's built for a certain capacity. And when you exceed that by too much, you're putting a lot of extra wear on all of those bathrooms, all the cafeteria, the gymnasium, all of those things. And so it has a detrimental effect on the building. And the buildings, you will see the wear, you know, kind of take its toll on a structure. So we are currently in a boundary change with Desert Canyon Elementary. The enrollment there is more than 800
students.
So
down there off exit 2?
Past the airport.
Yeah, okay.
Across from the airport, in fact. And so they have more than 800 children. And so we are switching those. And so some students will go to Little Valley. Some students will go to Bloomington. And that's going to lift the levels at Bloomington and Little Valley, which is good because we have space there. And we're also taking some undeveloped land from South Mesa Elementary at the same time and moving that as well. And okay. So those are the schools that are being affected. With South Mesa, it's undeveloped land, so it doesn't affect any parents in that community. With Desert Canyon, there are going to be, I can't remember exactly how many. I want to say approximately 70 that will go to Little Valley and approximately 40 that will go to Bloomington. And so...
When you get pushback on a boundary change, what are most of the people saying? Is, oh, they don't get to go to school with their friends or something like that?
Yeah, and parents talk to us, and we recognize it's a real thing. They'll talk about the anxiety their children have, mm-hmm. and this is a tough thing. And so we'll try and encourage them. Give it a chance. Come see the teachers that we have at these schools. We're very confident in our teachers at our schools. We have some of the very, very best in the state. You know, our teachers are... They care about what they do, and they care about their students. And so we're confident that these students will get the services they need and be able to make the friends. It might be a challenge at first, and yet it's also this is easy for me to say, but I have had to do it with my children. It builds resilience as your children have to make some friends. And
they need that, moms and dads out there, grandma and grandpa. Kids need to... have to make new friends. They need to have to walk a different path. They need to...
Sometimes it can be good.
They need to fail sometimes.
Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it's how we respond to it that can make it good or bad also.
Yeah.
But yes, and so that's happening right now. And then the Board of Education just went through and reviewed all of the schools for whether they should be open or closed based upon their enrollments. And so that
closed, not meaning closing the school, but closing the enrollment numbers.
Closing the enrollment numbers, meaning parents have, public schools have the opportunity for, you have the opportunity to take your child to any school, public school you want in the community. However, if because of enrollment, we are at capacity, we can close that school for open enrollment choices out of boundary waivers. Okay. And we can refuse to accept your child if you do not live in the boundary of that school. And so that's what that is, means open or closed based upon the enrollments. And so, you know, like right now, Desert Canyons, as I mentioned, is closed. Elementaries, Horizon and Hurricane are also closed. Majestic Fields is closed. South Mesa is closed. Washington Fields Intermediate is closed. Crimson Cliffs Middle is closed. Crimson Cliffs High is closed. And those are our closed schools right now.
They're just at capacity.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
And then three of the schools that they just moved from closed to open, the Board of Education just moved to open, are Bloomington Elementary is an open boundary school. Dixie High is now open. It was closed last year. Okay. We moved that to open. And Hurricane High was closed, and we just moved that to an open.
I know we only have 2 minutes left. I did want to ask you, though, I mean, you mentioned that we're flat. We're not actually growing right now as far as a school district. Is that an indicator? Does that tell you something bigger picture? Traditionally, does the school, the district, feel these numbers first before the rest of the community feels it? Because that's kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, and normally we do, and it follows the same trend we're seeing throughout the state. Overall, enrollment in the state is down. We are down slightly less than the rest of the state, but we're seeing similar effects. The unique thing to what we're seeing in our community is that we are seeing students come in the secondary grades, not the elementary grades. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, I have a hiccup. We have some students that we have more students coming in that are in eighth grade and higher. So they're more established families that can afford to move into our community that are moving in. They have older children. And so that's why it's balanced out where we're only down overall as a district, like 60 children, because we have growth in some of our secondary schools and declining in some of our elementary schools.
Brandon Hansen said on the show before this, the average age now for the first time ever of the of a first-time home buyer is 40, which that's right in line with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, if I can finally afford to buy a home at 40, my kids are probably 10, 12, 15 years old.
They're getting into the secondary schools, the intermediate, middle, and high schools. Yep, that's right.
Interesting. All right, Steve Dunham, Washington County School District. Steve, it's been so fun being having you on once a month for six. I don't know. How long have you been here?
I've been here since 2016.
Okay. So since I've been here, for sure. So,
yeah.
It's been a great pleasure. Yes, we both have a guilty glam rock.
That's true.
Guilty pleasure, and we're not going to give that up anytime.
But everybody just try playing Gypsy Road while you're driving on the freeway.
No, you'll get a ticket. He said he can't keep... Steve, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy. Good luck.
Back tomorrow, McCray Hepler will join me with What's Up in So Utah. Thanks for listening, everybody.